Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
See, even your friends don't. I mean, even... This is another way. I don't agree with D-Mac often, but...
Hey, man, my boy Matt Bell texted me. He said, it sounds like you're bandwagoners. He said, you like who's ever winning at the time. And I text him back, yes. And he just texted me back, that's not good. I'm like, you know what? That's the way it is. The Nuggets had the lowest attendance in basketball because they weren't winning. How do you think attendance is with the Golden State Warriors?
I bet it's pretty good.
What do you think the attendance was like
in their new billion-dollar arena?
Right, like what was the attendance like with the Cleveland Cavaliers while LeBron James was there?
I'm sure it was solid.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. People like winners. Don't paint me in the corner like I'm the bad guy now.
Two different arguments. If you want to say people like winners, of course, everybody will agree
Everybody
with you.
Likes winners, and I like to support winners with my
but
fandom.
Most fans would say you need to be loyal to your teams no matter what.
Not true. Not giving you my dollars nor my time if you're not winning.
Were you a fan of the Broncos last year?
Was I a fan of the Broncos last year? I will say yes.
See, that's a trick question, too, because I don't think...
One of my best friends is the head coach. One of my best friends is the general manager. One of my best friends is the president of football operations. Yes, I am a fan of the Denver Broncos.
Okay, fair enough.
But if they were a perennial losers and those three guys weren't there, probably not.
But we don't work for the team.
No, I don't work for the team. But and you know what? I play for three different teams. If one of those teams get hot, I might become a fan of them.
Okay.
I mean, I worked in three different cities as a professional athlete.
We were at a Super Bowl when the Niners were there. I saw what that was like for you.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you were a 49er.
They treated me well in San Francisco because we won. When you win, people treat you differently.
You went to, there was, alumni things for Niners and, you know, at that Super Bowl. And
yeah.
There you were.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was welcomed in.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You know what? I didn't even get an invite to the Cincinnati Bengals 50-year celebration. I mean, what was it, 75
Are you not
year?
One of the 50 greatest Bengals of all time?
I don't think I am. But, you know, anyway. I don't think I'm one of the 50 greatest Broncos, so it doesn't matter. But
ooh,
I mean,
are you sure?
Oh, I know that for a fact that I'm not. I don't think so. But
yeah, you're pretty close.
But I would say that.
Should you be a Ring of Famer?
Not in my opinion, because I didn't, I got injured and I couldn't be the same player
in your fifth
for
year,
long enough.
John Lynch, I mean, there are guys in there only played 4 years for the Broncos.
I know, but I'm just saying because of injuries, I didn't get a chance to really do it like I wanted
Why is your resume not as strong as John Lynch?
I think that's up to somebody else to decide. I mean, I'm a big fan of John Lynch because he played the game the right way. So I'm never
Did you play the game the right way?
Yeah, when I was here, I did.
Did you have more success as a team than John Lynch had?
Yes, of course.
Did you go to the Pro Bowl when you were here? Were you all pro with the Broncos? My man.
But I will tell you
this. Just for a second. First of all, I do think you should be in the Ring of Fame. Because John Lynch got in, and it changed the conversation.
Well, I don't think that John should have went in before some of the guys Ed McCaffrey.
The fact that Ed's not going in this year and nobody is going in is preposterous.
Right. Now, I think Ed McCaffrey is a Denver Bronco Hall of Famer because of the way that he played the game.
And you mean to tell me nobody this year is better than Ed? Come on.
Or that Ed's not worthy of the appointment to the ring?
Ed deserved it as a player.
Ed deserved it before
John Lynch.
John Lynch.
He did, yes.
I mean, if you're asking me.
No, and I think John Lynch would say that.
But John was a great player here. They made it to the AFC Championship game. They didn't quite make it to the Super Bowl. And, we got him at the tail end of his career.
It makes me wonder if there's not some other weird things going on with Ed behind the scenes with the organization. I know he
was a broadcaster there for a lot of years, so I don't think
it is. But that sort of fell out of favor at some point. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either, but I'm I'm a big Ed McCaffrey fan because I saw that guy grind it out, and you know, he was rewarded around our team and teammates for the way that he played the game, because he just grinded people out, man. I mean, I just saw him, you know, love the block like he loved the catch. You know, that the skill set, you know, like there, it's not going to show up in the stat book as a guy who had 10,000 yards receiving as a Denver Bronco. But man, I'm telling you, man, it set the standard for the way that we played the game.
If they really wanted to be stingy with the Ring of Fame, they would not have voted John Lynch in. But they did, and I think that's fine. But because
look how long it took them to get Simon Fletcher in, though.
Well, that was ridiculous.
That was dumb.
That's right.
That was really, really dumb.
And now we have nobody this year and instead of Ed. And you've got to be on that list, too, my man.
I don't know about that, but I am.
4 years, two rings, All-Pro, Pro Bowl.
I would tell you that Ed McCaffrey should be in that ring. But this is all stemming from the fact Ed McCaffrey hit free agency.
Who led? Oh, well.
Go ahead.
Who led the team in sacks for the 4 years that you were there?
You mean like total number of sacks?
The 4 years you were there, in those that four-year period, who had the most sacks on the team? Was it you or Trevor Price?
Oh, it was. I don't think Trevor was in the conversation then.
Who was it? You and who? 4 years there. Who had more sacks than you in the 4 years you were there?
I don't believe nobody.
You? Oh, man.
That doesn't mean that those were all double-digit sack years.
Doesn't matter. You were just the best.
I had like 30 sacks in 4 years. It's not saying you burned the world up.
You led the team that won two Super Bowl championships, and you led the team in sacks? Come on, man.
Dude, you're funny, but okay.
I mean, were you guys a good defense?
Yeah, we were really good.
Really good?
Really good. Could have been great if we would have got a chance to play that the way that the Broncos play right now, I'm just so jealous.
So you were good enough to be on a really good defense that won two Super Bowls, and you led the team during your time period in sacks, one of the more important defensive sort of stats.
Yeah, I'm not making that argument. That's not, you know.
Tracy, you're on the Fan. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, fellas. Chub, chub, chub.
Chub, chub, chub.
First of all, got to side with you, D-Mac, on this fan situation. Denver native, born and raised. Even went to school up there with you when you're there, Al. And quick question. You love excellence, but I bleed black and gold and orange and blue. When the Buffs are bad, which they've been a lot, do you still support them?
That's a good question. One that I don't want to answer. Let me explain myself about my love for the University of Colorado. Okay, my love for the University of Colorado is not simply as a football organization. Okay, when I have so many friends that were born out of non-football activities that I can have a love for the university without necessarily having to spend my dollars to go see a CU football game. So it's a totally different relationship with me when I look at the University of Colorado changed my life forever. So I look at the University of Colorado as a not as a place to go watch a football game. Like some people may just go to watch a college football game and call it good. It means so much more to me than that. So if you're asking me, do I spend my football dollars going down to the University of Colorado when they're bad? My answer is no.
But you still go to the games. And
no, I don't.
Just said no.
I just told you I don't go to the games when they're bad. You know, the worst thing that would set me off is to go to the University of Colorado, sit in those stands, and see them lose.
I'm with you on that.
That is the worst possible Saturday that I can have. So right, I don't do that.
No, but for those 4 years, when Hockham was there and then Embry was there, you didn't go to any games. You went, and I went. I went to many games.
I went to
horrible,
I went,
but you still went because you loved the team. And the regular people.
But see, that soured on me when we start losing. When we start losing.
The same way about their team.
No. When we start losing, that soured on me.
Tracy,
you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me.
He's different. He looks different.
When we started losing, that weighed heavy on me, and I didn't want to go.
But you got to listen to Tracy, because what Tracy's saying is that he is so dye in the wool that he will go no matter what. And
I go less. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. At one time I had season tickets to the Nuggets, had 10 games to the Avalanche, season tickets to the Broncos, And let's see, and the Rockies, we had season tickets as a family.
Wow.
I have gone to maybe four Rockies games in the last 5 years. I've gone to, I used to have season tickets to Nuggets. I don't even watch the NBA anymore because they're the Golden State Warriors. What's the point of watching you? Gotcha. I was going to win.
Right.
Oh, I love the Golden State Warriors.
Right. Yes. I used to play basketball against you when we were up there in 89 and 90 at the Fieldhouse. We'd play, I mean, I remember you and Knavis and Sal and all that type of stuff. We were there at the same time. We're the same age. And I loved basketball. It was my passion. But I can't even watch the NBA anymore.
Oh, I love it, man. I love it, man. I love it. I love it, man.
Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate the call.
I get what you're saying, that you don't like to watch the NBA because there is a dominant team playing. I guess you didn't like watching when the Celtics and the Lakers were good then. Because those were the two dominant teams.
Well, I liked it because I was a Celtics fan.
I liked it. I liked it because I was a Robert Parrish fan, but loved Kevin McHale. I loved the skyhook from Kareem. Sorry, you know, I mean.
But at the time, you were a kid from Houston.
That's right.
And the Rockets were real good, too.
Yeah, but I mean,
they did
Kevin
a great
McHale,
job losing to the Celtics twice.
Man, the Kevin McHale, man, down in the low post, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, like,
I mean, it was a thing of beauty.
I liked, you know, I respect, so I'm a Celtics fan. I respected Hakeem Olajuwon, but I never rooted for him.
Right. I mean,
you were different. You actually rooted for those guys.
I got my heart broke watching the University of Houston lose a national championship game on a tip play against North Carolina State.
I'm sorry, dude.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think back at it now, and it's been
everybody,
so inspirational.
Everybody loves that play.
Right, right. Everybody loves that play. It's so inspirational to so many, for so many different reasons, that, okay, it's just that my team was on the losing side. It broke my heart.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you think? I look at the Buckner play with, like, joy? No, I hate it. But lots of people point at that as, oh, what an amazing, you know, moment. Not to me, it's not.
Right, right. So I like teams. But you know what? The thing about playing, living in Houston at the time and being a Houston Cougars fan growing up, you know what? After that group of guys left, Five Slamma Jamma left, they weren't good anymore. They weren't good like that anymore.
So why should we root for the Broncos this year?
Why? Because they have a chance. They have a real chance to get at least to the AFC championship game.
What's different about them 3 days away from training camp this year than 3 days away from training camp last year?
The quarterback.
That's number one, right?
Yeah, the quarterback. The quarterback makes the offensive line so much better. He makes that offensive line so much better because he's not going to be holding on to the football, taking sacks, doing dumb stuff with the football. I mean, the quarterback makes this whole team better.
3 days away from camp last year, what was our narrative? What were we talking about?
The decision.
Right.
I mean, come on,
we're
man.
Doing our t-shirts.
It was exciting. It was exciting to think about who would win, but we weren't talking about really making deep runs into the playoffs. We were trying to figure out who was going to win the quarterback battle. Think about that in contrast to what I just said. I'm talking about this year, we have a chance to make it to the AFC championship game. That is a far cry from what we were talking about last year. We don't, you know what? We had a meeting last night to talk about this year and the Denver Broncos and how we were going to go about our business with the Broncos as a station. Last year, we had a conversation that lasted almost three hours plus talking about the decision, okay, and how big of a deal this was. And this year, we don't even talk about the quarterback position, which is a good thing.
Not much.
Because it's solidified. It is solidified.
Kind of.
I didn't say that we had the greatest quarterback.
It's mostly solidified.
But it's like saying that we don't talk about the defense because it's kind of solidified. You know what I'm saying? Like the defense, we talk about the offensive line, the running backs, the young wide receiver. We don't talk about the defense. You notice, I mean, we never talk about the defense because it's kind of a given. They're good.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they're going to be great, but we know that they're good. The quarterback's good. I don't know if he's going to be great, but the quarterback's good.
Right.
So we don't even talk about the quarterback because we know that he's going
to
be good.
Nothing to talk about.
There's nothing to talk about, which is good if you're a football fan.
Right.
Okay, so I'm telling you that we have a chance to be in the AFC championship game, and if we can win enough football games and we can get home field advantage, we have a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
That means we can possibly beat the Patriots this year.
That's right, if we have home field advantage.
Thank God for the franchise tag.
There's no franchise tag that's going to help us here.
Ray, you're on the fan. Hi, Ray.
Hey, chub, 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 chub.
Chub, 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 chub. 3 days.
Hey,
Three days
hey,
away.
Ow, 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 huh? Yeah, ow, ow, ow. You should be on the Ring of Fame. Look at your statistics compared to everybody else on the team that was in the defensive end.
That's pretty good.
You had the most sacks.
So
anyway,
good.
I'm on your side with that one.
All right.
Appreciate the phone call.
What I wanted to say,
go ahead.
What I wanted to say was about the franchise tag. Say Case Keenum ends up working out, you know, he might become a pretty good face for our franchise, right?
Right.
We want to hold on to him.
That's
we don't want him to go chase money, go to different teams.
That's right. You incentivize
like
and you hurry up and sign him as quickly as possible to avoid that situation.
Right. Right.
So don't we don't need the franchise tag to do the right thing.
Right, we would just sign him to a long
year. That's right, that's right, that's right. Because we are afraid that if he hits the free agent market, then we're going to lose him. You know, because it's no different than Nolan Arenado. We want to sign him to the longest deal possible because we're afraid that if he hits the franchise, if he hits the open market, somebody's going to throw a ridiculous bid out there that we can't touch. You know, Giancarlo... What was it? How you say?
Stanton?
John Carlos Stanton, okay? John Carlos Stanton signed a 10-year, $300 million deal. Okay, Bryce Harper, they're talking about Bryce Harper talking about 10 years, $400 million. Okay, we're talking about Nolan Arenado hitting free agency, getting 10 years, $400 million. Okay, do the right thing. Sign him now for that deal because who knows? In a year, if we get on the run this year and we have success, we're talking about that contract could be a 10-year, $450 million deal. Okay, so do the right thing all the time. Make sure the guys are taken care of and you keep trying to work towards a championship and you can retain your players. Why would you want to leave if the money is good and you're winning?
I got sack numbers for you while you were a player. Boys in the back doing some research. Curious?
No.
Between you and another player?
Oh, in my 4 years here?
Mm-hmm.
Who was it?
In 96. Was that your first year of the Broncos? Mm-hmm. You were balling.
They told me I could just go. You know, that's a great conversation because they told me in 1996 when I came here as a free agent.
They let you go.
Go get the quarterback.
And you did. 13 sacks and you led the team.
Yeah, 8 more sacks than Ma'a.
So you dominated in 96. Mm-hmm. That was your year. Did you go to the Pro Bowl that year? And All pro.
First
that was,
team. 13.5 sacks.
Sadly, though, that was the Jacksonville year.
Yep.
Right.
We lost to Jacksonville.
The next year, you had 8.5 sacks.
Yep. Yep.
So you gave up a little bit.
No.
Did Neil come on?
Neil came on, and they changed. Here's the storyline behind my career here with the Denver Broncos. I was brought here to do one thing. And what happened is Coach Shanahan and Greg Robinson came up with a concept that says we don't need our guys to get after the passer until we have a comfortable win. We need them to play a solid brand of defense. So they changed the way that I was playing so that everybody would play a more locked. We had one game, and I think Bronco fans will remember this. We had one game against the Oakland Raiders where Napoleon Kaufman ran for like 230 yards against us. And after that game, it was, okay, we're not playing like that anymore.
But you had something interesting happen in 1997.
Oh, yeah. I tore my triceps.
Well, on a personal level, but team-wise... Trevor Price came on the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know what else happened in 97?
What's that?
Jeff Blake, sacked by Neil Smith. Alfred Williams contributing. Gone. Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling. 51 yards and a dive.
Tom Jackson's laughing because you're jumping into the end zone with nobody around you. So Trevor came to the team in 97. You had 8.5 sacks. He had 2.
Mm-hmm.
Young guy, right? Just getting his feet wet. Then look what happened in 98. You had 3 sacks in 1998.
I was on pup and hurt.
Tough year for you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't even start. You didn't get your name as a starter in the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-mm.
That was that weird sort of... Played a lot, but didn't...
Neil Smith, nor did I get the start.
Right.
Mike Shanahan fielded the most non-drafted player... anyway, go ahead.
There was a little something weird. Played plenty, though. Probably played as many snaps as anybody else.
Played just as much as not more.
Right, but it was a weird thing.
But I was out 6 games.
But look at the year that Well, Trevor had 8.5 sacks.
Did he?
He had 8.5 in 98.
Okay.
And then in 99, you had your last year, you had 4 sacks. Again, mm-hmm. You had some injuries, and mm-hmm. You only played like half the year, right?
I played 7 games.
All right.
But I was healthy. That was the year that I was healthy and I was coming on.
So it's fair to say if you had 4 in 7 games, you'd probably have 9? I mean, you know, that'd be probably fair if you stayed healthy.
I probably would have had 10. I was about
10?
The money.
You want? Let's give it 10. Let's give it 10. Let's do that. I'm going to give you 10 for that year, okay? Here are Trevor Price's 4-year numbers.
Go ahead.
So your 4-year numbers are 13, 8.5, 3, and let's just give you 10, okay?
No, you can't give me 10. Just give me the numbers that were.
13
and a half, 8.5. So what is that? 21.
With the 4? So 25.
So 20, 25 and a half, 28. 25, yeah, 20.
What number you want to give yourself?
I don't know. What were the actual numbers?
13, 8.5, 3, and 4. So it's 28.5.
It was, okay, go ahead.
But I'd be willing to give you 34.
No,
28.5.
Okay, what was Trevor's?
2.
Mm-hmm.
8.5.
Mm-hmm, 10.5.
13.
Really?
So 23.5.
Uh-huh.
And then 12.
Oh, my goodness. The last year,
12.
Where I got hurt, he got 12?
Well, you got hurt in 99. His was in 2000, the year after, when you were gone.
Oh. I thought you were talking about while I was there.
When you were there, it was 10.5, 23.5. When you guys, you were only there.
3 years together.
Right.
So Trevor should be in the Hall of Fame. Trevor Price should be in the Hall of Fame.
I mean,
Ring
in your
of Fame.
3 years together, he had more than you two. But I'm talking
how
about...
How many? In three?
In 97, 98, 99. I mean, those were only the 3 years that you were together. He had 23.5.
Okay.
And you had, in those years, 15.5. But you only played... You were hurt one of the season. You only played half the other. What's remarkable to me is how similar your numbers actually are. You know,
Trevor was a great defensive lineman.
So you know what this tells me? You know what this tells me? You and Trevor should both be in the Ring of Fame.
Trevor should be in the Ring of Fame without a question.
Right, because he played longer for the Broncos.
Oh, he had some monster
but
years.
But more or less, Trevor became you.
Trevor became...
You were the handoff.
Trevor was a great defensive lineman. Not a good one. He was a great defensive lineman.
So were you. I mean, you had 13 sacks in 96. Trevor had 13 sacks in 99.
But I'm just saying, but health, man, when you're playing in this business, man, health is everything. If you're not healthy, you can't be a great player. Trevor was healthy and played great here for a long time. I would have to imagine that in the all-time sack list of the Denver Broncos, he's got to be in the top 5.
Yeah, so how does nobody go in the Ring of Fame? Ed's not in. Trevor's not in.
Trevor's going in. Trevor's got to go in. Where is he all-time Denver Broncos?
We can dig
sack?
It up. We can dig it up. It's interesting numbers. It's interesting numbers. And you probably didn't share any tips at all with Trevor Price.
Oh, we help Trevor every day.
You said you never helped the young guys.
Oh, but he played inside.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was important to help him because he was a good friend, man.
It's interesting numbers to look at, that's for sure. Okay, well, we can look up all the whole thing if you want. And the Rockies. Alfred, what happened last night? That was bizarre. And how does it change tonight? We'll get to it next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
You know, last night everything was looking good.
You get the time with the fastball. You know you're going to see a couple of highlights.
Yeah, he's on top. Case hit right center. Nolan around third. He'll score. Cargo digging for second. Back-to-back doubles. Here come the Rockies. This ball line to right. It's going to drop. Cargo, he's coming home. He'll score. The ball game is tied up. Gerardo Pollock coming through.
You know what I'm saying, Al? I mean, everything felt like it was going to happen. Then Wade Davis goes out and gets them out of the top of the ninth. Fine. And they couldn't cash in the bomb in the ninth. And then there was Wade Davis to start the tenth. And right off the bat, they give up a single. And Charlie Blackmon makes his first error of the year. That is how good Charlie Blackmon has been at center field. What you saw last night was the first error of the year. But it was tough. You make an error in that big outfield in Coors Field, a single becomes a triple. And then the Astros piled on.
Not a base hit. And Houston takes a 3-2 lead.
And right at that moment, you know, Wade Davis, I mean, first of all, after the base hit triple, perhaps that was enough to get Wade Davis out, but certainly there, but no, they didn't take Wade Davis out.
He's the eighth best prospect in baseball, the 20-year-old pinch hitter, and he hits a high fly ball to deep right center field. Car to go. Can't get there. And now at least one will score. Sprinting home is Kemp. He'll score on a triple by Tucker, and the Rockies are down three.
What happened?
It all fell apart quickly.
What happened? What happened there?
It all fell apart quickly. Man, I went to bed after the eighth inning. I woke up and it was like 8-2.
Well, it was 5-2
until I'm talking about in the tenth. I'm like, wait a minute now. That means that we went through the ninth even at 2-2, and we got to the 10th.
Well, Springer came up and
1-2 on Springer. And this ball is hit well to left. And it's gone.
Yeah.
There you go.
And now it's gotten ugly here in the 10th inning.
I mean, golly.
I mean, that's exactly how, because there was, because when I, you know, I went, been so, you know, tired here because of the time changes I went through. When I went to bed after the eighth and I woke up and it was still the 10th, I was like, what is going on? Wait a minute.
Yeah, you should have been confused.
I'm like, what's
you should be
go
very
back
confused.
And watch it again. I'm like, what in the
right.
world?
You go from a 2-2 battle to giving up six runs in the extra inning.
Uriel, the ninth man to hit here in this 10th inning. Still only one out. That was the perplexing bunt attempt with two strikes. One skids into center field, another run scores.
You just can't understand how it happens. It's an incredibly exciting game. Everybody's on the edge of their seat, and then it becomes a blowout in extra innings. That does not happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
But you...
A six-run inning?
You probably would be
doesn't
fair.
Have very, how often does a six-in running, I mean, a six-run inning happen in baseball in general?
Not Major League Baseball, very often. Not very often at all. Every now and then. It's not like
20 times a year?
Oh, probably more than that.
You think so? Whereas more than six in one inning?
Well, come on, man.
We're doing
30 teams. You know, we're doing 162 games, nine-inning games. Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, come on. How many innings are we talking about a year? Do me some math on that. 162.
Six-run innings.
162 times 30. Times nine. What is that?
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Yeah, I wonder how many six-run innings
right on
are
that?
There.
I mean, there's more because there's extra innings, there's games that are shortened or, you know, whatever. But in general, 162, every team plays 162 games, times 32, times nine innings is 46,656 innings. So I'm going to guess that six runs are scored more than 20 times in 46,656 innings. I'm going to say six runs are scored more than 100 times at least.
100 times?
Yeah, I mean, come on, Al. It's 46,000 innings.
But it's still unusual.
It's unusual, yeah. Well, if something happens 300 times out of 46,000, it's unusual.
I mean, you can see like three home runs happening in an inning, or maybe even as many as four.
Six runs is unusual.
But to get six runs out of those four home runs would be unusual.
It is unusual. So hopefully if anything unusual happens tonight, it happens against the Astros. not the Rockies.
Need some length.
Yep. Seems too short. And we're going to play the end of the ball game. Disappointing finish for the Rockies. Nine innings of tight baseball, entertaining baseball. The 10th inning got away from them. And the Astros win game one of this two-game series. The final score, 8-2.
So there you go. All right, Big Sexy, I have a little computer issue. We got some breaking news or something I need to know. If you got something, give it to me, baby.
Yeah, per John Morosi, the Blue Jays are close to trading relief pitcher Sengwon Oh to the Colorado Rockies.
Whoa.
What do we have to give up?
What are we doing?
A couple prospects have already been pulled from the game. I do not know the names of them yet.
Whoa. So who's this guy?
Sengwon Oh. S-E-U-N-G-H-W-A-N. Sengwon.
So, Korean or Japanese?
I believe he's Korean.
Yeah, I think it'd be, if it was, yeah, it sounds Korean to me. What do we know about Sengwon Ho? A starter? Or
he's
seventh inning guy?
A reliever. He's
so he's our seventh inning guy then.
Through this year, 1 year, $2 million.
Ottavino's our seventh inning guy.
No. Ottavino's our setup guy. He's our eighth inning guy.
He's got a team option for 2019.
He's our seventh inning guy then. I mean, I guess.
It's actually, it looks like Sunwon. Sunwon Ho.
Sunwon Ho.
Sunwon O.
O-H. Wow, so we have moved away from, I thought you said have a plan to stick to it, D-Mac.
We're buyers, not sellers. You wanted to trade Nolan Arenado.
No, I said if he didn't want to sign a long-term deal, get what you can.
All right, let's take a break. Let's do some digging into that. Is this done or is it?
It is not official yet.
Okay, let's do some digging. We'll give you details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
So there's rumors that the Rockies have traded some prospects for Sengwon Oh, who is 5'10", 205 pounds, and he is currently was playing for the Blue Jays. It is already, on his Wikipedia page, he's already a Rocky. He's already a Rocky on his Wikipedia page. He has spent time, obviously, in South Korea, but he got into some trouble in South Korea. Why? Well, he went to a casino in Macau, and South Korean law is interesting. It's strict. It does not ban gambling, but it does ban going to casinos outside of the country. So you can gamble and do casinos in South Korea, but if you go outside the country, no bueno. And that led to a six-month suspension for Oh. How about that? Yikes. He was also linked to a Korean crime organization.
Oh.
And he previously was in a relationship with a girl band, not a boy band, but a girl band called Girls' Generation. And the performer was Yuri. He dated Yuri from Girls' Generation.
And from Troy Rank, Troy said that he was the St. Louis Cardinals closer last year for a little bit. Throws 96 miles an hour, had a bad year, but he's been pretty good so far this year for the Dodgers.
He was known as the best closer in South Korean baseball history. Whatever that's worth. He's got some fun nicknames. Dol Bucheo, which of course means Stone Buddha. And Kiep Pan Wang, which means final boss. So his nicknames, Alfred, are Stone Buddha and Final Boss. He's dated a pop. He's kind of a stud that has maybe some interesting relationships with the underworld of South Korea and a girl pop band. This guy's got some flavor. 36 years old.
Are you saying that's the guy to hang out with if you're ever in South Korea?
I mean, I don't think I think it'd be a fun night. I mean, I think he would show you what's what. So apparently, according to multiple sources, he's the addition. So it's I wouldn't say gargantuan move, but you know, the Rockies are more buying than selling. And they're looking to, you know, get that seventh inning guy. So there you go. The Stone Buddha. Welcome to the Rockies.
So does that mean Brian Shaw's done?
I think he's going to be more limited, and you just got to kind of lick your wounds and sort of move on. He's actually been pretty good in his last two appearances. But
I was listening to, I think it was Drew last night, and he was talking about, you know, guys turning around after having a bad start. And if that's the case, if we can get Brian Shaw and O to come in here and shore up what seemed to be a rickety bullpen from the, you know, the first half, should I say the second half of the first half, then I think that'll be the type of situation that could propel us to possibly get to an area of, you know, 95 wins.
Whoa. Easy, big fella. To get to 88 wins.
I'll say 88. I'll say 89 wins.
Well, 89 wins would make the Rockies playing 18 games over .500 in the second half of the season.
And I think that can happen.
It possibly could. You know, there are only four teams in Major League Baseball that were 17 games or better over .500 in the first half. So it's not impossible. But it would put you amongst the top teams in the league. So,
yeah, like our record next to the Houston Astros, they have 14 more wins than we do at this stage of the game. They are 67-36, and we are 53-47. The Astros are they're a 100-win baseball team.
Maybe, yeah. So are the Red Sox. So are the Yankees.
You know, they're a good baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but we don't have to win 100 games to make the playoffs.
No.
So I'm not worried about that.
But I'm just saying, when you look at that team that we're playing against, that's a really good baseball team.
The Mariners have a much better record than us, and we took care of business against the Mariners. Swept them at home. The wild card is, we're only two games out of the wild card with three teams in front of us. Not bad.
But they're only two games behind the Dodgers right now for the division.
And they're only two games behind the Dodgers in the division. The Rockies are right there, man. The Rockies are right there. They're now six games over .500.
We haven't even mentioned the entire NL West lost this afternoon.
Reasons to feel optimistic going down to the ballpark tonight. Aside from the fact that, of course, you're going to need a, you know.
Raincoat.
You know it. You know that's going to happen. It happens every day. But they played the game. They got through it. So another exciting night for the Rockies down there. And let's you know, win tonight.
Boy, this division is tight. This is a tight division.
You get a bit of a breather because you're just not playing conference opponents here for a little bit. You play Houston, then a three-game set with the A's. It's kind of fun, right? St. Louis in town. Or rather, you go to St. Louis. So, and you got a day off. So they've got a nice little rest after this two-game set with Houston and then three games with the A's. So if we're looking at this homestand for five games, we win three out of five. We're in good shape.
Man, I just looked up and saw the Boston Red Sox already have 71 wins.
Yeah, I know. They're ridiculous. They're really good. I know. Don't even worry about it. Don't have to face them until you get to the World Series.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
For my part in the D-Mac.
Just really quick. Glendale.
And tomorrow morning in Glendale. This is good.
Glendale, it is the training camp 2018 Chub 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 T-shirts. Braids Plus off Leedsdale in Glendale. Starting at 7 a.m.
Yeah, don't miss that. Right. For my part in the D-Mac, for Big Sexy, and of course Kyle Berry, I'm Big Al. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 o'clock on the drive.
See ya.